Hi, I am Satyajit Singh Sengarpi, going to recording Plot Construction in Sons and Lovers. Lawrence Technical Skill. Although Lawrence gives more importance to characterization than to plot construction, yet we can safely conclude on the basis of the external and internal evidences that Sons and Lovers is a better constructed novel than many other modern novels or even some other novels of Lawrence. Lawrence himself wrote to Garnett that the novel had a form, a structure, a beginning, a middle and an end, a story to entertain, situations to captivate and motivate the readers, and characters to develop the various threads of the story. The Paul Miriam episode is the central point of the novel. The canvas of the plot in the novel is just like a big continent containing several countries. The novel shows remarkable economy. There is very little which can be called superficial in the novel. The plot moves smoothly like an iceberg towards the ocean of characterization. The role of episodes in the plot construction of the novel. The episode plays a vital role in the plot construction of the novel. Out of these, the Jip William episode is one which can be easily cut out without causing an injury to the plot. On the other hand, the lifeblood of the novel is found in the Paul Miriam episode. We cannot possibly afford to amputate it from the body of the plot. This episode and that of Clara are complementary to each other. The former is the repository of the psychological nuances in the field of emotions, and the latter is the repository of the vehement passion of Paul. Both these episodes are important and are vitally interlinked with each other. The novel would fall apart in pieces if we take away these episodes. In them lies the entire strength of the novelist. The split up theme. One single theme does not run through the courses of the novel. It has been cut up into parts. The two aspects of the sex life of a person have been presented. First, the sex life on the instinctive level, and second, the Oedipus complex. He has done further splitting up in the sphere of sex, dividing it into emotion and passion. And for these two constituents, two separate episodes have been allotted. Through these forces marches the Oedipus complex. Though the whole plot is governed by the theme of sex, yet we encounter its several constituents in the novel. Then the reflection of the contemporary society, ugliness of industrialization, is also the side theme of the novel. The relation of plot with the characters. In Sons and Lovers, the characters considerably determine the course of the plot. Their importance cannot be minimized because they draw the entire attention of the novelist. He is out to express his faith in the novel, and for that matter, the characters at once become the vehicle for it. The theme, besides the characters, dominates the novel. The mother image occupying the mind of the hero imparts a definite shape to the plot in the novel. However, there is not any dichotomy between the plot and the character. The characters from the episodes and the episodes in their turn construct the plot. We have got the patches on it, but the novel gets saved by the thick characterization of Lawrence, and the patchwork loses its rigidity in such a scheme. Had the characterization been feeble, the novel would have become a faulty patchwork of episodes. The whole thing looks compact by the presence of Paul and his mother throughout the length of the novel. The role of conflict in the plot. It is the sex conflict or the battle of sexes which plays a vital role in the plot of the novel. It is not only between two persons but three, Paul being in the middle of a long-drawn tension. The mother image comes to intercept the already present conflict between Paul and Miriam. Thus, the nature of the conflict in the story is three-dimensional. It is a kind of an eternal triangle in which the mother image occupies the place of villain. It is this villain which destroys the very fabric of the life of the hero. Tension sustains the progress of the novel through stages. The sex conflict imparts a considerable interest to the reading of the novel. The man-woman relationship presents a problem, and by going through it, Lawrence comes to unravel many a skein. The psychological tangle grips his attention, and he employs all his skill in the revelation of the nonsense pertaining to it. The sixth conflict, in fact, becomes a terrific vortex which spins characters in its churning hollow. This kind of conflict bears a close relation with the plot. The hero is passed from one vortex to another, and plot pattern is conformed due to such an action. The sex conflict thus becomes something very significant in the novel and runs a full course in the story. The conflict in the novel is realized through the sex struggle. It is the element of sex tension which sustains our interest in it. There are two kinds of sex struggles described in the novel. First, we have the psychological sex struggle which is found between the mother and the son. The physical suggestions are no doubt there, but they are only emotional. It is not only affection which exists between the two, but love with a psychological basis of the Freudian psychology as given in the Oedipus sex complex. The theater of the sex struggle shifts from Miriam to Clara. In the case of the former, we have a deep and acute sex tension. But in the case of the latter, the element of emotion is relegated into the background and passion takes its place. The hypersexual characters and the plot formation. As usual, we may divide the characters in the novel into two, the minor characters and the major ones. The latter variety influences the plot formation in the novel. These are hypersexual characters who follow a certain progression of the novel. They move in a certain manner and have a design. Their movements tend to form an organizational design. The characters are linked with the events and chain of events like the various situations in the plot. The technical economy. D.H. Lawrence does not always observe economy in the use of his technical skill. He exhausts himself completely in describing the psychological nonsense at every step. Wary as he is in the choice of the events of incidental types, he moves on cautiously to the situations which bring out the new things which of course are obscure in life. However, he is economical in the way to enumerate them. For example, the mining accident of Mr. Morrell and the fight between Paul and Boxter Dawes. No sins have been created on the basis of sexual trouble. Even the fight with Boxter Dawes is not for it essentially. The man only thought that he was just being belittled by him while having a stroll with Clara. The plot is built up psychologically and realistically. The concept of symmetry in the plot. There is symmetry in the plot. It is generally seen in the description of nature and in the settings of the scenes. There is, however, hardly any symmetry in the choice of the characters. They are more paradoxical than symmetrical. Paul and Boxter Dawes stand on the opposite poles. Paul is not a bully like him. Clara is passionate and not emotional like Miriam. The setting of the scenes in the plot. The nature of the scene sets in the plot has a color of its own. For instance, in the early part of the novel, the color is rather drab and lurid. The blackness of the mining district cannot be painted in any other color than black. Thus, we have a dark shade running through the scenes of this phase of life. Such a shade exists till the death of William. This type of lurid color is again resumed at the death of Mrs. Morrell, which covers several pages of the novel. The color scheme of the skins changes considerably in the Paul Miriam episode. For this, he has employed the bright colors. The nature in different shades is seen in this phase of life. The shifting of scenes in this novel is generally synchronized by the shifting mood of nature. The nature of the plot. The plot is simply by nature. There is no tangled skeins in it which need unraveling at the hands of the novelist. The element of the suspense is missing. It is more of an epic than a novel, as here we do not encounter any secret. The writer is not interested in keeping the readers on the tenterhooks. It is only human nature related with sex that sustains in the interest in the novel. Whatever complexity we find in it resides in the intriguing characters who baffle the readers with the psychological problems. Action in the novel has been subordinated to thought. Mind governs the incidents rather than hands and feet. The psychodynamics of sex grips the reader's attention. The novelist fuses the traditional and modern elements of the plot construction. The logical development of the plot. The development of the plot of Sons and Lovers is logical in the sense that the sequences have been arranged by the artist, keeping in mind the systematic progression of the novel. In the beginning, he is interested in giving us the full background of the hero against the environment, heredity, and settings of the place where he is born and lives. This part of his existence has been built with the plethora of details. The mining village and Nottingham have been painted in a drab style, and we discover a kind of blackness in the design, but it may be pointed out that it is quite harmoniously attuned to the field of the activity of the hero. In the scheme of the development of the novel, we find the hero shifting to another locale, the setting of which has the advantage of the nature. Against the former drab background, this aspect of life looks more luminous. Willy form consumes the bulk of the novel. The surroundings seems to be idyllic from the point of view of the psychological MU developing between Paul and Miriam. This tone of the color is continued in the further development of the novel, where we find Clara and Paul having good time. In the development of the plot, the mother images moves steadily till we reach the last lap of the frustrated journey by the hero. The shifting of the scenes plays an important role in the plot development. The role of destiny. Destiny in the novel is a mirage. There are good efforts made towards the realization of it, but they end in fiasco. Perhaps the only character in the whole of the novel who succeeds in influencing Paul with a tremendous, though latent, force is Mrs. Morrell. The tragedy of Paul is the success of the mother. She is just formally sorry at the end of the novel. She holds a powerful grip over her son. Where destiny is concerned, Paul shares the fate of a fluttering cricoid caught in the destroying wave of life. There are other tragic characters who fail to achieve an accomplished destiny. For instance, there is Miriam, whose love becomes just cinders, dwindling into a common friendly ties with the hero. In spite of her great struggle in life, she is not able to achieve the desired object. It is denied to her even in the consummation poem formed in a style of pathetic surrender. It is rather a gesture of defeat than triumph on her part. But in the incorporation of fate, Lawrence is unlike Hardy. The beginning, the middle, and the end. The plot of the novel has been designed after the classical pattern. It is, however, noticeable that the exposition of the novel does not contain any linking of the characters appearing in the middle and the last stage of the narrative. Miriam, the most important character, appears only where she is required to be appear, and so does Clara. In the beginning of the novel, no early suggestions has been given by the artist about their appearance and that of Baxter dolls. Further, the middle of the novel comprises one single episode of Paul and Miriam, though it is rather astute on the part of the novelist to keep the mother image in the background, which adds to the color of this part of the narrative. This division of the canvas is significant from the point of view of the conflict placed in the formatting love of Paul and Miriam. The end of the novel is the natural and the much anticipated corollary of the trend of the events. The novel ends in a tragic manner. There is death of Mrs. Morrell and frustration on the part of Paul. The role of unities. Time drags on to a considerable extent in the novel, so much so that Paul comes to cover a part of the 20s and Mrs. Paul becomes oldish and dies of an ailment. The novel grows quite a crop with the passage of time. There is a change of places. The scene from mining village shifts partly to Nottingham, where Paul takes up a clerical job. The major part of the action takes place at the Willy Farm, though that happens before remains confined to the mining village, where the pit is having Mr. Morrell as one of the beauties. The action in its proper term is thin, but whatever it is has a unity about it. It proceeds on logically to an end. Its unity lies in the doing of one single individual around whom rotate three women, Miriam, Clara and Mrs. Morrell. The action is not diffused in the sense that it does not get complicated by the entry of some extraneous element. The significance of the William episode. The Jeep William episode finds a place in the scheme of the plot construction. It does not occupy a major space. It comes to an end with the death of William, the brother of Paul. He dies in the tragic circumstances. In his case, the economical question regarding his financial position plays a significant role. this episode is significant. Further, from the point of view of the psychological trauma hitting Mrs. Morrell, for she had shifted her love to William after casting off her husband. Her relationship with her son paves the background for the new Oedipus relationship with her another son. However, Lawrence has not treated this episode elaborately as he had done in the case of Paul. Lack of melodrama in the plot. Lawrence makes no effort, at least a major one, to make the novel melodramatic, as it done by Dickens in his novels. The writer of Sons and Lovers is very faithful to the significance of the element of life, particularly its vital aspects. Since he has not taken to the tendency of drama in this novel, he hardly gets an opportunity to make a situation melodramatic. The only situation which can, to a certain extent, be called melodramatic is that of the fight between Paul and Boxer Dolls. It turns out to be a minor event at any rate, and the suggestion of melodrama thus fades out to considerable extent. I think, temperamentally, Lawrence is not prone to depicting a melodramatic situation, nor is there Dickensian humor to interrupt the smooth development of the plot. The conclusion. The plot of the novel is a well-controlled one. There is diffusion of emotion and passion, but not the diffusion of action. Since it is not a complex one, no question of the unraveling of skins arises. The characters moving over the canvas of the novel give a coloring to the plot. The development of the plot is slow but steady. The novel grows with the growth of life. The episodes are well placed on the canvas of the novel. The pattern of the plot in it is formed by them. On the whole, the plot is relegated to the background, and the characters dominate the area before us. The sex conflict forms the major dynamics of the motion of the plot.